You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Depressed greater than 30%, and it be caused by wheel slippage. That can occur, correct?
The wheel slippage does not cause the accelerator pedal.
I'm not saying a cause and effect. I'm just saying a correlation. Do you understand what I mean by a correlation?
Let me try and straighten this out. So applying heavy acceleration can cause the wheels to spin. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I wanted to get at. Alrighty. So in your review of the materials that are related to January 29, 2022, did you become aware of whether there were, and you said you extensively reviewed documents, did you become aware whether there were people at 34 Fairview?
Yes.
And approximately how many people, without regard to names, just number, how many people did you become aware were at 34 Fairview on January 29th, 2022, the early morning hours? How many people, approximately, did you become aware were present?
It depends on which time, but there could be as many as 16.
As many as 16. And let's talk about the time period from midnight to 1 a.m. Do you have an understanding of how many people could have been present at 34 Fairview at that time period?
So I'm going to see you at sidebar on this.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Welcher, am I correct in my understanding that you believe under your theory, the Lexus for event 1162-2 backed up 53 feet? Am I correct?
No, it backed up a total of 87 feet.
Okay, let's take your 87. It backed up a total of 87, okay?
Correct.
And your further theory is that it did so and reached 24 miles per hour, correct?
Correct.
And you stated you have an understanding of a certain number of people, and I don't want to talk about the inside of the house, but just that we're at 34 Fairview between roughly 12 and 1 a.m. Do you have an understanding of that, sir? Approximately.
I believe I do.
And what is that number?
Do you want them people that were there for that entire window of time, or just?
Yes, 12 to 1.
So Mr. Alessi, just move to the last question.
Right, sure. So, sir, did you assume that there were cars parked out front of 34 Fairview at that 12 to 1 o'clock window? Did you assume any cars parked out front?
The entire time?
No, I'm just talking 12 to, any time between 12 and 1. Did you make any assumptions whether there were cars parked out front on the roadway at 34 Fairview? Did you make any assumptions with regard to that?
At a point in time, there was a vehicle behind it.
I'm sorry?
There was a vehicle behind it.
Just one?
That is my understanding. In terms of on the street, is
on
your
the
question.
Street, exactly.
Yes.
And what, do you remember the type of vehicle?
Yes.
What kind of vehicle was it?
An F-150 pickup.
Did you have any understanding as to whether there was a Jeep vehicle on the road at that 12 to 1 time period?
I had seen testimony somewhere to that effect, but the majority of the testimony was there were no other vehicles.
But you did see testimony that there was also a Jeep-type vehicle on the front, out the front of 34 Fairview between 12 and 1. Is that what you're recalling?
Yes. So I'm going to let that answer stand, what he's just testified to. Just go ahead and...
Okay. So, Dr. Welcher, what I want to do is to have you, using your data, you say 87 feet for the backup, correct?
Correct.
1162, up to 24 miles per hour. Isn't there a likelihood, if there is at least one vehicle out in front of
34 Fairview, that there would be a collision of the Lexus SUV with the vehicle out front?
No, the vehicle had left prior to the end, or prior to event 1162-2.
What information do you have with regard to how many vehicles are in front of 34 Fairview at between 12 and 1?
So I have Ms. Reed's interview statements. I have statements of a number of witnesses. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the names.
I was just going to say, let's not just number of vehicles.
Okay, so I have a number of witness statements at different, multiple statements from the same witnesses at different times, indicating the path and following the Lexus to the house and then leaving before the event.
Assume that there were vehicles, at least one vehicle, parked out front of 34 Fairview. Is there a likelihood that, given 24 miles per hour over 87 feet, is there a likelihood that there would be a collision given the weather conditions as you knew them to be at that time?
Well, the weather, I don't think, necessarily plays into whether there would be a collision or not, but we know it backed up 87 feet. So again, it goes forward like 35-ish and then back like 60-something. And so if something is within 65 feet of the rear of it, or whatever the numbers are, I would need my slides.
It was 50.
50, okay. Yeah, 57. If something is within that window, then it would hit it.
All right, good. So now let's look at another scenario. If it's going as you describe it, is there a likelihood that the Lexus would also go upon the lawn in front of 34 Fairview?
It depends on where it starts.
You have an opinion, don't you, as to where it starts?
No, I do not. That's actually why I have that diagram showing it off to the side.
That's
I'm
right.
Simply showing how far it moved forward, how far it moved back.
Exactly.
We don't know where on the roadway it started.
Exactly. You don't know where on the roadway it started. And therefore, all you have is the distance covered, correct?
Correct.
So, but you're saying the distance is 87 feet, correct?
87 feet backwards, yes.
So backwards, 24 miles an hour. Have you ever driven a vehicle backwards 24 miles an hour, sir?
Yes, I think I've driven this Lexus backwards 24 miles
right.
an hour.
So if anybody has driven a vehicle back, have you ever driven any vehicle back 24 miles an hour at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the morning?
Probably not since I got out of high school.
Have you ever done it when there's a storm that is beginning?
No.
Have you ever done it when there is less than clear visibility?
No.
And have you ever done it when there's low lighting?
Oh, you know, maybe when I've been up skiing in the snow, I've done it. But again, that's been decades.
Right. So 87 feet, 24 miles an hour. Are you saying that in every instance that vehicle will stay on the road and for 34 Fairview, it wouldn't go up on the lawn?
When you mean every instance, mean like every possible location on the road it starts from?
Correct.
No, there's some spots. If you start here, it's going to go up on the road, on the yard. If you start too far on the other side, you're going to go over into the neighbor's yard. So it depends on where you start.
Right. And so in given the conditions that we've just described, right?
Conditions
the weather,
have nothing to do with where you start.
I need to finish my
Hold
question,
on.
Sir.
Only one at a time.
Yes, ma'am.
Let him finish his question, please.
Given the conditions that you've described, it is reasonable to conclude that that vehicle, under your parameters, would have gone up on the lawn. Is that a reasonable conclusion?
No.
So you don't think there's any possibility that could occur, a vehicle going 24 miles an hour at this location, 87 feet backwards, in the dark, with wet pavement at a minimum, and low lighting, You don't believe it's possible for the vehicle to, under your scenario, to have gone up on the lawn. That's not
possible. So your first question was reasonable, and I said no. Now you're asking possible. It, of course, is possible. Whether it's reasonable or not, I'd have to know the starting position.
Right.
If it's very close to the side, then it could be reasonable. If it's further towards the middle of the road because snow is building up on the side of the road, then it's probably not as reasonable. I would need more information to be able to determine whether it's reasonable or not. It's certainly possible. It's possible it could have shot off into space as an engineer, but not probable.
Oh, you think it's possible that it could have been shot off into space, sir?
As an engineer, it's a possibility.
It's a possibility that
Absolutely.
This Lexus could have been shot off into space.
Yeah. Highly, highly unlikely. But All again, right. you're asking an engineer about possibilities and probabilities.
Let's get back to reality. So in terms of the Lexus itself, because you, under your method of analysis, don't have the starting point, you can't rule out that under your scenario, the vehicle would have gone up on the lawn. You can't rule that out, can you, sir?
I cannot. No, it could
Okay.
have.
Okay. Now let's go to the next topic. If we could, Your Honor, have Exhibit 168 published in evidence,
okay.
which is now under the 167. Now, as I understand your testimony, Dr. Welcher, you believe that it's possible that the Lexus taillight could have caused these wounds to Mr. O'Keefe's right arm. Is that correct?
Correct.
And more specifically, it's your belief that the lacerations would have been caused by the vehicle scratching Mr. O'Keefe's arm as it drives past him. Is that correct?
I don't know. I'd characterize it that way. What happens is, you know, this 6,000-pound vehicle is coming, and he's standing on a, you know, icy, snowy roadway area, and it's going to contact him and move his whole body and induce rotation.
Right. So it's going to contact him and, under your theory, induce rotation. So wouldn't such a movement of the car relative to his right arm result in horizontal injuries to Mr. O'Keefe's arm, as can be seen on his bicep above the elbow?
So could we pull up one of my slides to address this issue?
Sir, I'd like to
answer your question with a slide that I have that addresses this exact point.
I'd like to stay with this slide, Dr. Welcher, and see if you can answer my questions off of this slide. So I'll repeat it.
Sure.
Do you agree that the injuries up at the upper part where you're familiar with the bicep brachialis?
I am.
And aren't those two up at the top right over the bicep brachialis?
They're actually about midway between the biceps and the triceps.
Right. So you know which two I'm talking about, the two up there. Can you just use your laser pointer just so we're talking about the same two? Do you have one?
I'll give it a try, but the upper ones.
I know it's not your fault, but
the upper left.
Yes.
I mean, technically the ones right to the right of that are also on the biceps and triceps.
Right, but I'm talking
the biceps goes all the way to the elbow, so do the triceps.
Right, so I'm talking about the two that are the farthest up.
Correct.
All right. Would you agree that those are in a horizontal orientation?
Generally, yes, which is what you'd expect with your arm like this and the taillight coming across like this, which is what I showed in my slides.
My questions are trying to keep this moving. I just asked if those are in a horizontal orientation.
Yeah,
yes,
more or
no?
less. They're angled down slightly, but more or less horizontal.
Okay. Isn't it true that if Mr. O'Keefe's arm were to be flexed like it was with the test subject in your blue paint test, the lacerations on Mr. O'Keefe's forearm would be oriented in a vertical direction?
Absolutely not. If you pull up my slide 117, it'll show exactly that it is like perfectly horizontal. When you're standing like this, and this is the taillight, the laceration, when it comes across here and pushes my body, it's gonna make a horizontal laceration because the 6,000 pound vehicle is gonna push me out of the way. As this pushes me out of the way, it's gonna drag and create a horizontal laceration across my arm. This is exactly what you'd expect.
So let's talk about the forearm, sir. We may have miscommunicated. I'm talking about the lacerations on Mr. O'Keefe's forearm now.
So we're switching from the arm to the forearm?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Wouldn't those be oriented in a vertical direction?
No. Again, you have the vehicle, if this is me and this is the car, it's pushing and pushing across like this. And with your arm bent like this, it's gonna cause laceration as it pushes my arm away, it pushes like that.
Okay, I got it.
My slide shows this quite clearly.
So you disagree, you do not agree that the injuries to Mr. O'Keefe's forearm under your theory would be oriented in a vertical. You disagree with that. It's just want to get that on the record.
I disagree with
okay.
that.
Okay. Now, also, do you understand that under your theory of injury here, that there would be injuries caused in two different directions by the same movement of the car? Agree or disagree?
I'm gonna say I disagree. You need to give me a little more. You're gonna have, again, this is a glancing or a clipping type impact. And so it's going to be it's gonna sweep across the arm, which is what causes the horizontal lacerations.
We're talking about a flat surface, right, sir?
Approximately, yes.
And therefore, you would have to maintain contact with the arm as the car moves. Am I correct about that?
Maintain contact with the arm? I'm unclear what you mean.
What I'm trying to do, sir, is to get under your theory, right? Given the contact that you've described, what would you expect to be the orientation of the wounds to the upper part of the arm and to the lower part of the arm?
Just like it's shown in this photograph.
Okay. Isn't it the case with your theory that the taillight would have to break? And after the break, the arm would have to maintain contact with the arm as the car moves?
So that is what happens in pedestrian contacts. There is a contact duration. For example, you asked me earlier in that calculation you had me ran, you said 0.01 seconds. That was the contact duration. So when you have things like this, that's why you have to allow, if you do testing, the body to move, because the car is going to hit the body, it's going to cause it to move, the body's going to rotate away, and the car is going to continue on in that clipping type impact. So the arm is definitely in contact with the rear of the car for some time.
That's what I wanted to get to, is simply that under your theory, the taillight would break, and also the arm would need to maintain contact with the taillight area as the car moves. Is that your supposition?
So at a point in time, it'll stop contact, but the 6,000 pound vehicle is gonna wanna continue moving on. It's going to push, it's gonna initially contact the arm, and then push the arm away as it rotates the body. So yes, it's going to maintain contact until the clipping is over and the vehicle continues on.
So my next question is simply, mm-hmm. how long do you believe the arm needs to maintain contact with the taillight after, under your theory, it breaks to produce those types of wounds that you say came from a taillight?
We don't have enough information to determine that.
Right. You don't have enough information to make that determination, do you, sir?
Correct. But we know because of the laws of physics that it has to be some amount of time. It doesn't occur instantaneously.
So now we do apply the laws of physics to the right arm that weren't applied before because you applied a pink experiment. Is that correct? You're now applying the laws of physics to the injury to the right arm. But you didn't do that in your report.
Nope. Always applied the laws of physics. The paint experiment, as you're referring to it, was to look at basically the orientation of the scratches that matched this. So that was an engineering experiment to correlate height, position of the taillight relative to height, orientation of the lacerations on Mr. O'Keefe's arm.
You just said, sir, if I heard you correctly, you, to answer my previous question, applied the laws of physics. That's what you just said, correct?
So the laws of physics cover more than Newton's second law. There's a whole law of physics. The whole field of physics is a broad subject. So a simple measurement of height is a physical measurement.
Sir, I have your entire report in my hand, right here. Where in the report do you apply the law of physics to the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe? Where?
So in the paint experiment we did, the laws of physics about gravity, orientation, things like that, I didn't apply Newton's second law, as we already went through. But again, those simple positions, arm angles, the possible physical arm angles, those are all generally governed by the laws of physics. The laws of physics are very broad.
Sir, I'll ask it this way. Where in your 14-page report do you even mention the laws of physics related to the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe?
So, in terms of applying the laws of physics.
I'm not asking applying, just where in the report is it mentioned law of physics relative to the right arm? Can you point me to where?
Would write a report that said these are the laws of physics. I would say these are the numbers, but for example, the timing in GPS, how a clock times, the concept of a second, what does that mean? Those are all concepts of physics. So the timing, the GPS, the mileage, how we calculate the mileage, those are all based on the laws of physics.
I'm talking about injuries to the right arm.
That's not what you asked. You asked me about my whole report.
Sir, if you could, please, I just need to finish my question. Where in your report do you use any laws of physics in connection with injuries to the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe? Can you point me to a word or a page in your report?
Yes.
Where?
2A. 2A Roman numeral 1. 2A Roman numeral 2. 2A Roman numeral 3, 2A Roman numeral number 4, 2A Roman numeral number 5.
Sir, I followed all of it, but what I'm asking about is where in all of what you just mentioned is the word right arm? I'll take what you just said. Where in 2A and all of those is the word right arm? Where is it?
Oh, sorry, it's in number 3.
So let's go to 3. You state the location and orientation of the laceration on John O'Keefe's right forearm and right arm are consistent with the geometry and orientation of the right taillight of the Reed 2021 Lexus LX570. Where?
Hold on. Can you read the next sentence?
I'm sorry. Is it see PowerPoint slides 102, 120, correct?
Correct.
All right. I want to just start with the report. Did you apply any force analysis to support 3?
So in terms of the force analysis, I did not do an F equal MA analysis, but in terms of, say, the contact pattern, I obviously had to apply some force, even at 2 miles an hour, to do that.
So the answer is, what you cited, number 3, you did not use a force analysis, correct?
So force was applied to my arm in the paint test. I didn't do an F equals MA force analysis.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So now let's go to the horizontal movement we were talking about with regard to the car. And you can agree or disagree.
Sorry, the picture's down.
I'm sorry, we'll take that down. Do you agree or disagree that given a horizontal movement of the car, vertical lacerations would be an inconsistent injury pattern?
So horizontal motion generally will cause a horizontal laceration. You can get what are called stellate, which are blunt force, and it causes a splitting of the skin as well. But generally, when the vehicle is clipping or running horizontal across it, it will generally cause horizontal lacerations. But when you have a fractured taillight, you can get pieces going off in other directions. So it's not necessarily going to be perfectly horizontal.
So my question is, not with clipping, you keep inserting clipping into my question. My question is this. If you're given a horizontal movement of the car, do you agree that it's more likely than not that vertical lacerations would be an inconsistent jury pattern?
Injury pattern? I'm trying to help you, but you got to give me more. So, is it a clipping contact or is it not a clipping contact? Is it a direct in the center of the car impact?
Okay, are there only two variables you need
no,
to answer the question?
But this is a good start.
All right, so let me do it this way. You can't answer the question on a general basis of whether there's horizontal movement of a car, whether vertical lacerations would be an inconsistent injury pattern. You can't answer that question without more information. Is that your answer?
So generally, again, horizontal motion should cause horizontal lacerations. But again, it depends on what's being hit.
Okay.
So for example, if I have something that bends as a result of the impact, it could bend up and create a vertical laceration.
So you would agree, based upon what you said, that generally horizontal movement of a car would be expected to cause horizontal lacerations.
Generally?
Okay.
Yes.
Now, during your blue paint test, the blue paint was featured more predominantly on your upper arm than your forearm. Is that correct?
I think it depends on the tests.
Do you want, we bring up a slide, will that
I'd
help
love
you?
To bring up a slide.
We're gonna be running the thing, so we'll just bring one up and you tell me whether this slide works for you, sir.
Do you want me to tell you the slide I want?
If we could take a shot at it first and then we may ask you for it, but I think we've got a slide for you. And what number?
Dr. Welcher, 111.
111 is on the screen, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Is the blue paint more predominantly on your upper arm than your forearm? Is there more blue paint on your upper arm than your forearm?
Probably. This is the one where I actually walked sideways into the back of the car. The one where the car is moving is probably a little better representation.
Sir, I'm just asking you a question about this slide. If
okay,
you could just focus on this slide here, and if you can't answer it, so be it.
I just answered it.
Is the blue paint featured more predominantly on your upper arm than your forearm?
It sort of looked like it. I didn't actually measure the total area of it.
All right. So on direct, you stated that in order for the injuries on Mr. O'Keefe's forearm to have been caused by an impact with a taillight, his arm would have needed to be held outstretched as you did in your demonstration, correct?
You would need some degree of outstretch, yes.
Yes. So isn't that an example of confirmation bias?
No, that's matching the contact pattern to the injuries.
But don't you have to select among other choices this outstretching of the arm? Don't you have to make that selection from among others, correct?
So that was matching the physical evidence on his arm to the physical evidence on the car, and then running a test to see if dynamically those matched up. So it's, you know, I didn't have it hit the exhaust pipe, for example, because there was no assertion it hit the exhaust pipe. There was no damage to the exhaust pipe. So it was based upon the evidence, and the testing was done to test, to use your vernacular, the hypothesis that that's where it came from.
Sir, have I ever asked you anything about a tailpipe in any of my questions today?
Yes.
I have not. I've never
asked. Yes, you have. You asked me about the totality of the rear of the Lexus, which includes the tailpipe.
All right. I am not going to be asking any questions that involve the taillight in any fashion. So what I'd like to do is to go back to the question that I'm asking, which is, did you consider, as part of the scientific method, in terms of more than one hypothesis, did you consider in your analysis any other orientation of Mr. O'Keefe other than the one you selected for your paint test?
Yes.
And where is that consideration of other hypotheses stated in
forward to reverse? It's not. I was just looking at the damage that was up on the sheet metal.
Okay. So are you saying that you considered other orientations of Mr. O'Keefe relative to the vehicle as part of your analysis?
In terms of where exactly the hand would be, some slight different angles in the forearm, which is from the elbow to the hand, I did consider that, but all the physical testing is done with the hand hitting the approximate center of the taillight.
Do you have any notes that you took for these alternative orientations?
No, I think I just included photographs of that damage.
Do you have any proof at all that you considered those other orientations? Anything you write?
No, I don't believe so.
Right. Did you consider any other locations of Mr. O'Keefe under your theory relative to the back of the SUV?
Sure. In the beginning of this, I started about, hey, it's all over. It could be anywhere on the back of it. Then whittled it down based upon the evidence, started eliminating various hypotheses based upon the evidence, and came to this conclusion, eliminating hypotheses based upon the taillight fragments near his body, the lacerations, his height, the height of the taillight in the Lexus. So it was an iterative process.
Did you mention any of these supposed hypotheses in your direct testimony?
No, because I was able to reject them. I didn't come in here to tell these people what didn't happen. I came in here to tell them what I believe happened.
Would you agree, sir, that the scientific method earlier has the scientist identify various hypotheses, go with the data that supports it, but you show your math as to why you're rejecting hypotheses. As you said, you rejected them. I'm asking for proof that you considered other hypotheses. Do you have anything in writing, any notes at all, any videos, any tests that you did, documentation of other hypotheses other than picking this one? Do you have any documentation of that?
So I did a bunch of tests with the Lexus. I did backing test. I looked at how the rear system worked to see if it would autonomously brake. I confirmed it did not, so I eliminated that as a hypothesis. I tested the steering. I tested the transmission, what 1, 2 represented. So I did a whole bunch of tests on the vehicle.
I understand you say you did a bunch of tests on the vehicle. My question is, did you ever take the vehicle and position yourself or anybody else in various locations to determine whether or not your hypotheses could be properly rejected? Do you have any documentation that you did that?
I mean, I did do one static and two dynamic tests in very similar positions, though. So I did a total of 3 tests relative to the arm.
Where is the documentation for that, sir?
It's in the file. I gave it to you. That some of the slides are some of it.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Alessi, I think if we're going to,
I'm going to move on, Your Honor.
So,
okay, but Mr. Alessi, hold on. We're going to do that voir dire.
Can I ask? I just have one other area, Your Honor. I can do it in short order if I could, please.
I wasn't finished with my
question. Go ahead, finish your answer.
So slides 109, 110, 111, actually through, I guess, 121 deal with the test, you know, the hypothesis.
We'll come back to this at another time, Dr. Welcher. So what I want to do is to finish up on this point. So is it your testimony that no part of what you did in selecting this area, no part of it is confirmation bias? You say there's no confirmation bias at all in what you did. Is that your testimony?
That's certainly my goal. I try and eliminate all confirmational bias. I didn't start out at this particular location. This is where the physical evidence led me to. So I would say the conclusions are supported by the science.
My question is, did you engage in any confirmation, and this would be my last question, did you engage in any confirmation bias in terms of how you approach the issue that you have testified about in written reports?
The answer is still no.
It's a good
All right, so, okay, thank you. All right, so jurors, we're going to send you home because we still have work to do here and we don't need you waiting there while we do it exactly. So tomorrow is a half day. We'll see when exactly that half day ends, but we won't be here until, we won't go until 4 tomorrow. Those 3 cautions: do not discuss this case with anyone, don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it and let us know. The 4th admonition: please be very careful with your social media use. See you tomorrow morning.
Surprise the jury.
Stay here. Yes.
May be seated.
All right. Okay, Mr. Alessi, it's your voir dire.
If I have a moment, Your Honor, to switch.
Your Honor.
Yes.
I have a load of my slides.
Yeah, can you do that while you're sitting here answering questions? Yes.
I'm going to start with Your Honor with regard to the truth false.
Okay. And we're on a very limited schedule here. Okay.
Okay, Your Honor.
Mr. Wolk, if, with Your Honor's permission, if we could pull up the January 30th, 2025 PowerPoint of Dr. Welcher in slide 36. You see that, Dr. Welcher? Do you recall that from your January 30th, 2025 PowerPoint?
I thought I had replaced the video on the left-hand side by the time I produced
Sir,
it.
Sir, I got to go through this
that.
Quickly, Mike. That image is a drone image on the left, correct?
Oh, correct.
And you had that in your original report, but you removed it in subsequent reports, correct?
Correct.
Where did you get that drone image from?
It was in the file.
Wasn't it in the CARS report of Trooper Paul?
I believe it was.
So you took that drone image from the CARS report of Trooper Paul, correct?
Correct.
Let's, if we could, Mr. Wolk, go to diagram one. Do we have that electronically of Trooper Paul's report? Do you recognize that as diagram one from Trooper Paul's report?
Yes.
So, and that's the diagram that you took that image and you put it in your January 30th, 2025 PowerPoint, correct?
I'm pulling up my version of the PowerPoint. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, if we could take that down, I'm going to go to the next example. If we could go to Dr. Welcher.
I'm sorry, actually, can we go back to that?
Yes. With Your Honor, why do we...
Well,
I have limited... Go ahead.
So that particular diagram I did not use. If you notice, the diagram I used has different cars and doesn't have... all the writing about the position of things on it.
I am going to, now, Your Honor, have to take the time to go to Trooper Paul's report. Can we have the hard copy of Trooper Paul's?
Could you turn the lights on, please?
Yep. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm going to
show Mr. Brennan.
Yes, Mr. Brennan. This is... May I approach you, witness? Excuse me, Dr. Welcher. You see this first page? Do you recognize this as the cover page for the Trooper Paul report that I was referring to?
Well, Lisa, can you show me the signature?
You want to look at the report, sir? I'm not so sure there is a signature on the report.
Signature block right here.
Okay.
Yes. Trooper Paul. Page 16.
Can I have that?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, what I want to do is to go to diagram one. And if I could, Your Honor, republish what was just up. I'm showing you diagram one, sir, and I'm asking you, is that the image from Trooper Paul's report that you then used to put into your January 30th slide presentation?
No. See all the writing on here, the glass cup, all the dimensions here? Here's my January 30th one. None of that stuff's here. There's different, none of this stuff is here.
Isn't it the case that this is cropped more and there's a larger picture of the same image or not?
See this tree?
Yes.
See these trees?
Yes.
See all these measurements by the trees?
Yes.
All these? That's right here.
Okay.
Those do not show up on my image.
Let me go to a different method then to do this. You have an image. Can we go, Mr. Wolf, to the January 30th presentation?
Slide 36.
Correct. Where did you get that image from that's in your PowerPoint presentation on the left?
I think it was from the file, a satellite image from the file.
What part of the file, sir?
I actually don't know at this time.
How close is the image on diagram one, the drone image, to the image that you can't now recall where you got it from for your slide presentation? Are they similar?
So that one has a whole bunch of measurements and ID on it, but the underlying image is very similar. It's probably the same one.
Right. Yes. Okay. You're welcome. Do you know of any other place you could have, let's put the presentation back up on the slide presentation. Do you know of any other location other than Trooper Paul's report that you could have got that drone image from?
No, I'm not sure I got it from the report. I recall getting it from the file.
My question is, do you know of any other source other than Trooper Paul's report that you could have gotten that drone image from?
So this image is not in that report.
It's not my
Yes, it is. You asked me anything but the report. That image is not in that report.
Did you get the drone image from any file from the Massachusetts State Police?
Yes.
Okay. Did Trooper Paul work on any drone images, to your knowledge, with respect to 34 Fairview?
I don't know.
But you would agree that the drone images are from the Massachusetts State Police file, correct?
Give me one second.
Sir, let me know you've had a fair opportunity to answer that question.
Yeah, give me a second. Yes, it came in a file called cars-trp.joepaul.
Okay. So it came, and that's the report of Trooper Paul, correct?
No. These are drone images that are not in the report.
No, I'm saying what you just read. Can you repeat it again, what you just read, where it came from?
I read you a folder.
Yes.
That contains a bunch of things, including the report.
Understood.
That image is not in his report.
Okay. Can you read the file name again that you just read?
The folder name.
Yes.
Is cars-trp.joepaul.
Okay. And did you get the drone image from that file folder?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's go on to the May 26, 2025 PowerPoint that you created. And I'd like to go to slides 25, 26, and 27. Have you discussed with anybody today at all the source of what is depicted up on this slide?
No.
Okay. So let's now go to where did you get the, you see the larger chart to the left there in the, looks like mostly a rectangle. Do you see that, sir?
What slide are you on? What slide is that?
25, I believe.
Okay.
And then if we could click to 26, because it looks like it's the same. If we can go to 26 and 27, looks like it's the same one. You tell me.
It's similar.
Similar, okay.
Yeah.
In 27?
Correct.
See the same or similar one there? Okay.
These are all from Google Maps.
Well, my question is, may I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this so I don't have to keep going back and forth. Do you have access, sir, to the CARS report of Trooper Paul on your computer?
Think so? Do you remember the name of it?
I don't. We'll do it there with the hard copy. Mr. Brenner, I'd like to show him this one. Thank you. So, if I could approach, Your Honor?
Yep.
So, you see what I'm pointing to right here, which is page 10 of Trooper Paul's CARS report. Do you see that?
I do. Is this the same report? Is it dated 1/29/2022?
I believe so, sir. Let me just take a peek. This is, if you can just compare this, is the one I have in my hand. Take it and look for any identification it gives you.
Yeah.
Right? We got the same one.
Yeah, mine's broken.
Okay.
So, that's just paper.
Okay. So, we have that report, mm-hmm. and I now am referencing page 10 of that report, and I'm looking at the chart on page 10. Is that chart on page 10 the same or substantially the same as the chart that is up on your slide presentation right now?
So it's not the same. I did not use this data at all, but we both use Google Maps.
Okay. Alrighty. Now let's go to your, continuing on the same slide, if Mr. Woke, we could go to slides 22 and 23.
Okay, and this will be the last on this, Mr. Lessie. If you want to get to the autopsy photo, we're wrapping this all up at 10 past 4.
Okay, Your Honor. You see these photos?
I'm sorry?
You see the photos that are up on that?
I do.
Okay. Do you, in terms of those photos, do you recognize any aspect of those photos?
Yes.
What do you recognize in terms of the person in it?
Oh, you want me to limit it to just these three photos?
Any photo that would be, this photo or any photo similar to it. But let's start with just these three.
If I have to limit it to these three, I don't know who that is.
Okay, and if you don't limit it to those three, who would you conclude it is in those photos?
It appeared to be Trooper Paul from other photos.
Okay, so you can tell from other photos that this is Trooper Paul in these photos, correct?
I have photos of Trooper Paul in the car. I don't know that someone else switched out. I have no reason to believe this isn't anybody but Trooper Paul.
Okay. Would you have any understanding that there's any other trooper that would be doing this type of analysis other than Trooper Paul?
Someone else took the photographs?
No, I'm talking inside the vehicle.
I'm sorry?
Inside the vehicle doing what's depicted here.
Someone is inside the vehicle taking the photograph.
What's your best conclusion as to who that is?
Trooper Paul.
Thank you. Your Honor, that is...
Okay, so next topic.
Yes,
go right
thank
ahead.
You. And I just need to reload, if you will, with regard to that topic. If Your Honor, you can go to slide, and I think I can do this fairly quickly.
Okay.
If you can go, Mr. Woke, to slide 131 of Dr. Welcher's PowerPoint presentation. And it's now 132. I don't believe that's the right one. It's the...
One before that.
Yep. I think you're... Yeah, okay. So this is slide 131 from your slide presentation. Correct, sir?
Correct.
And... If you look to the far right, I'm sorry, Mr. Woke, you go to the other one. Yes, that one, and scroll down so we can see what's in green. For that depiction, that is from Dr. Scorti Bello's autopsy report, page 3, correct? Is that where you got that from?
It's from the report. I'll take your word for it on page 3.
So, but it is from Dr. Scorti Bello's autopsy report, correct?
Correct.
Now, if you could go to, if we could zoom back out and go to the multicolored image in the center, up at the top.
Yeah, just go straight to, yeah, just go straight right there.
Yep, 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 I got it, yep, okay. Thank you. If you can go to the very top line, it says autopsy report performed by Irene Scorti Bello, MD, PhD. If you could scroll back over, Mr. Date of autopsy, January 31, 2022, and then you see final diagnoses. That is all directly from the autopsy report, is it not, sir?
Yes.
And that is in your slide presentation, correct, sir? This correct. Is page 131 of your slide presentation. Correct?
Correct.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Okay. You are all set, Doctor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Oh, did you have any questions, Mr. Brennan?
If it'd be helpful to the court, I have a couple quickly.
Okay.
Can I keep going to 2 minutes?
Dr. Welcher, you have shown a photograph of the street of Fairview Road. Did you know that didn't come from Trooper Paul? It came from the CERT report, and Trooper Paul then took it from the CERT report and put it in separately in his presentation. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I just was given it as a folder.
And the photo you were using, it didn't have the markings that Trooper Paul put on his report, did it?
It did not.
When Trooper Paul, when you used that photo, was it because you were borrowing, relying on, or using any of Trooper Paul's reports for your conclusions or any of your decisions or analysis in this case?
I did not use his report at all.
It was simply limited to the use of the photo to show a different demonstrative issue.
Correct.
And then when you saw diagram one, again, that was different than what was used in Trooper Paul's report because it had absent in it all the writing. Isn't that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Did you rely on Trooper Paul's analysis or conclusions in this case for your conclusions and your analysis?
Not at all.
Is that why you went and downloaded the information and looked at the car and did everything individually, separately, and uniquely from Trooper Paul?
I wanted it to be independent in my analysis.
Regarding Dr. Scortabello, did you ever consider her conclusions regarding manner or cause of death as a basis for your analysis and conclusions?
Yes.
And when you considered her analysis, did you consider the conclusion, of undetermined cause of death? Was that part of your analysis?
Oh, no. I was using, like, the skull fractures, the description of the injuries.
So you were considering the information in her autopsy report?
Correct.
How about her conclusions? Did you rely on her conclusions to do your studies or any analysis in this case as far as cause of death or manner of death?
Only I thought I said blunt force trauma and hypothermia.
Okay. Regarding her conclusions about whether this was caused by a car accident or not, did you consider that as the basis of your opinion?
No, I wouldn't take a person like that's opinion for that.
Did you ever have a conversation with Dr. Scortabello about her expertise limitations?
No, I would want a biomechanical analysis.
Was your opinion regarding the collision in this case, did it have anything to do whatsoever with Dr. Scortabello's conclusions regarding cause of death, whether it was accident, undetermined, or homicide?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, Your Honor.
All right, one question. Can we just wrap it up? I'd like to hear you argue, but we don't have time, so I'm just going to...
I have
decision.
Two questions, Your Honor. You put in your slide presentation information from the autopsy report of Dr. Scorti Bello for a reason, correct, sir? And that reason is because you considered the autopsy report as part of your analysis, correct?
So I considered portions, which are the portions I included here for the autopsy report.
And part of those considerations were the final diagnoses. We can put that back up, Mr. Wolk. But you recall the slide that you had has the final diagnoses of Dr. Scorti Bello, and you put that in your slide presentation because you considered that as part of your analysis, else it wouldn't be in there, correct?
So the final diagnosis is in there. There's a line, then it says cause of death, and then manner of death.
Right.
The things I highlighted are the things I thought were important. So the highlighting on slide 130, so look at, so The final diagnosis, again, does not include cause of death. It does not include manner of death. There's that horizontal line demarcating those. The important things that I was looking at are the under or highlighted, which is why I highlighted them.
Exactly. So the ones that you highlighted, you considered, are from the autopsy report. That's why you're highlighting them, right, sir? You considered them.
Correct.
Thank you. No questions, Your Honor. I appreciate that opportunity.
So I'm not going to let you argue now. I'll hear you very briefly tomorrow before we stop. But Mr. Lessie, how much longer are you going to be tomorrow?
If I could have a moment, Your Honor, I'll give you my best assessment. I'm about halfway through, Your Honor. I think it will take up a little more than tomorrow. If we can get some things quicker, I would like to do that, but given today, that's my best estimation.
So we're half a day tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it may be that we have a 20-minute break tomorrow, and we finish up by 1:30 by going straight through. We've got a juror who has an appointment that we told her she'd be able to make. So I'd like to do everything we can so that Dr. Welcher doesn't have to come back or stay here another day. So let's just see what we can do, and we will do the same thing for your experts as well.
No, I understand, Your Honor, and I respect everything that Your Honor is saying. I must say, Your Honor, to state the obvious, this is a key aspect of the case, and we've got to be able to proceed through to the question. He covered a lot on his direct and the problem.
And I'm not asking you to curb it. I'm just hoping that we can do it. So I will ask you tomorrow at a certain time to see whether it's we're able to do it with the 20-minute break and finish.
Fair enough, Your Honor.
Okay.
My answer is that that's a good point.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All rise for the court, please.
Thank you, Dr. Welcher.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I step down?
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.